Galatians 6 and 15. If you found that, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being here today. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen. I want to preach about a new creature today. Amen. You can be seated. Father, God, I love you and I thank you so much for your word. I thank you most of all for the grace that's freely given to us as a result of the finished works that Christ did on the cross. Thank you for loving us, God, and thank you right now for being with us today. Thank you for blessing us this morning with your presence, and you're still here. And Father, I pray that, God, you allow this word to get into the hearts of your people here today. And Father, if there's anybody in here today that doesn't know you, that's lost, I pray that, God, you will deal with their hearts today, that they may come to know you and the free pardon of sin today. God, I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Paul here is rebuking the Judaizers. If you've got to remember, the culture and the time frame is they've come out from under the law. They're under grace now. And under the law, all of the Jews were circumcised. And they used the circumcision as a sign that they belong to the Lord. Well, we all know that under grace, that's not necessary anymore. Some of us need to just holler. Some of us men need to holler amen over that, right? It is a circumcision of the heart. That it is today, it is the circumcision of the heart, it is the cutting away, the removal of the flesh, is what that means. And it is the circumcision of the heart. But what was happening here is that Paul had come and they were boasting in the circumcisions that they were doing because they were bringing in converts, they were bringing in the Gentiles were being saved, and they were telling the Gentiles, yeah, that's true what Paul's saying. We are saved by grace through faith, but you got to add circumcision to make it complete. You still got to be circumcised. And so they started putting their faith in circumcision, and they were boasting about the circumcisions. Well, we do the same thing today. Paul is boasting about Christ crucified and risen again while they're boasting about circumcisions. And Paul is saying, in Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. He's trying to tell them about a new way, okay? We do the same thing today, except we do it with baptisms. We boast about baptisms, and we put our faith in stuff outside of the cross and the finished works of Christ, and we talk about how many people we baptized, and I'm convinced that what we're doing is we're getting a lot of people wet before they get washed.
Amen.
Amen. Baptisms availeth nothing. And once we get saved, we ought to get baptized. But a baptism availeth nothing if we don't become a new creature in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
It's becoming a new creature. This new creature. People have been baptized as infants, and they were told that they were baptized as infants, that they're on their way to heaven. They grow up in church. They attend church. They go to church. They're never stable in church. They're in and out of church, and they die and they go to hell with a false hope of heaven because somebody told them, you were baptized and you're okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Baptism availeth nothing. But a new creature. If we don't become a new creature in Christ, it availeth nothing to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We trust in church attendance. Well, I go to church. You try to ask people, how are you born again? Well, I go to church. I attend church. Or I've been baptized. That's what they'll tell you. I've been baptized. And we put our hope and our faith in those things that don't matter. They don't matter. They won't get you to heaven. You can get baptized till you grow gills. If you don't become a new creature in Christ, you won't make heaven your home. Amen. We go to church, and we ought to go to church. I encourage you to come to church. Thank God you're here today. But church attendance availeth nothing if you don't become a new creature in Christ. It availeth nothing. We go on mission trips. We do a lot of great works. But they availeth nothing if we don't become a new creature in Christ. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils? And did we not do many mighty works in your name? It availeth nothing because they never became a new creature in Christ. And we can trust in a lot of things outside of the cross that availeth nothing. A lot of things that are going on in the church today, if we don't get born again. I'm convinced today that our churches are filled up with people that have never been born again. They've never become a new creature in Christ, and that thus becomes our issue. Now, let me tell you one of the most damnable things that we're doing today, and this is a pet peeve of mine. Corporate repentance or corporate prayer or corporate, just saying a corporate prayer. Anybody want to go to heaven? Just lift your hand. I see that hand. That bothers me today, folks. Okay, and one of the things that is sending more people to hell than anything else is the sinner's prayer. We're just getting people to pray a prayer. We're just telling people you need to just pray this prayer. There's no mention of sin. There's no mention of repentance. There's no mention of change. There's no mention of conversion. There's no gospel preach. We just tell people if you want to go to heaven, pray this prayer. And when they pray that prayer, we validate them and tell them now that you prayed the prayer, you're on your way to heaven. It's not true. If you don't become a new creature in Christ, the prayer availeth nothing. Are y'all with me? The problem is there's no evidence of those people ever having a supernatural work go on in their heart, and they've never been changed. John the Baptist cried, repent. Jesus cried, repent. Paul cried, repent. Acts 3:19, repent and be you converted, that your sins be blotted out when the times are refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Nowhere did Jesus say, I see that hand, would you just pray this prayer with me? He never did that. He always, I'm telling you, he didn't make it easy for you to get saved. Go and sell all that you have and take up your cross and follow me. He could have just said, pray this prayer with me. He could have went over to where Legion was instead of casting out the demon and say, look, I know they put you away. But if you want to go to heaven, Legion, just say this prayer with me. He could have baptized him and left him in the demonic condition that he was in. And my fear, church, is that we're filling our churches up by telling people, if you want to go to heaven, just raise your hand and pray the prayer. And there's never been any conversion. There's never been any change. There's never been any kind of repentance at all. And those people are going home with a false hope that they're on their way to heaven when they're actually going to hell. I know this is challenging and I know this is hard. I've been sitting on it 3 weeks. We got people today trusting in the fact that they prayed a prayer one time in their life and somebody told them they were saved. And if you ask them, are you saved? They won't tell you, yes, I've been changed radically by the power of God. They'll tell you, I prayed a prayer one time, I've been baptized. People are also trusting in their sincerity. I was sincere when I prayed that prayer. Listen, I went to an altar when I was 14 years old and I prayed the prayer and I was sincere when I prayed that prayer and I went right back out into the life of sin. Thank God I did. Thank God I didn't get deceived and stayed in church, and thank God I'm not sitting in a church somewhere today lost and on my way to hell because of some prayer I prayed in sincerity back there somewhere. I got caught up in the emotion of what was going on in the church. And I went down and prayed the prayer. And Brother Kenneth, I was sincere. I asked the Lord to save me, forgive me of my sins, and come into my heart. And I was sincere when I prayed it. But the problem was the Holy Spirit had not convicted me. I didn't really repent of my sins. And there was really no drawing of the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. And I just prayed the prayer and got up as lost as I was when I went down. That's happening today. And I'm watching churches boast about it. They boast about their baptisms. But if they had to track change, they wouldn't have to boast much. There wouldn't be much to boast about. If we had to track who has really been converted and who's really changed and who's walked away from their old life, who's got a new life in Jesus Christ, it would be a little more difficult to track and we wouldn't be boasting as much. We baptized 40 people, 40 people who continue to live in the sin they've always lived in. It availeth nothing. Come on, church. It availeth nothing, and we wonder why we don't have a revival. I want nothing more than to see people born again and changed and saved in this church. I refuse to play with your salvation and your soul. I refuse to do it. I've watched some of those churches boasting about it, and I've watched how they're doing it, and that's what they're doing. If you want to go to heaven, just lift your hand. Okay, somebody pray the prayer. And then they tell them you're okay. And then we'll baptize you if we prayed the prayer. I prayed the prayer drunk before. Just in case. Thought I'd get me some fire insurance. I mean, what did it hurt? I had no intention while I was praying the prayer of changing, but I prayed it. Praying the prayer is not enough if you don't become a new creature in Christ. Come on, somebody.
Right.
You got to become a new creature in Christ. Paul told the Galatians here in chapter 4, I stand in doubt of you. It's pretty bold, isn't it, to get a letter from the guy, Apostle Paul, I stand in doubt of you. He told those in Corinth, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Man, that's good, solid instruction, isn't it? We got pastors and evangelists and teachers that are validating people's salvation simply based on the fact that they prayed a prayer. It's not about a prayer. It's about a changed life. It's about this new creature. If you've truly been born again, you have become a new creature in Christ. You have a renewed mind this morning. You have new desires this morning. You have a new life this morning. And we keep trying to get people committed to Christ, and we keep trying to get people committed to coming to church. And I'm convinced that the major reason that people can't get committed to church and people can't get committed to Christ is because they've never become a new creature in Christ. The lack of commitment to Christ and the lack of commitment to His service and the lack of commitment to coming to church and being faithful to church is a symptom of a much deeper problem. It's only a symptom. And it's the fact that they're not a new creature in Christ. We have conventions and revivals and crusades all over the place. We see it all over the place. And people will pray the sinner's prayer in the corporate prayer as they announce it, because they got an auditorium full, and they just lead them in a sinner's prayer and ask them, who prayed the prayer? Would you lift your hand? You're on your way to heaven. Come see the counselors. We'll baptize you, get you signed up. And one particular convention and crusade that they had hundreds of people that came down, and they professed and prayed the sinner's prayer corporately. And then afterwards, they realized that over 60% of them never attended church anywhere after they left the crusade. You know what their solution was for that, or their answer was for that? Well, we need to do more discipleship. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Let me tell you something. If you really get born again, you'll follow Jesus whether anybody disciples you or not. Can I get an amen in here? When you get born again, you get new desires, you'll get a new heart, you'll be changed, amen. You will follow Jesus, and you will come to church. Amen. Church has become a revolving door. We've got as many people going out the back door as we got coming in the front. Amen. So what's the problem? And I'm not talking about people that leave our church to go to another church. Some of y'all left the church to come here. I'm not talking about that, because God does lead people away from some churches and brings them and plants them in different churches. And I'm talking about people who would come to church here. They would come for a season, then they get to missing a little bit, and then they get to missing more. And then they get to missing more. And then they just go home, and they just stay home. And you go get them, and I don't know whether they feel guilty, but they'll come back for a few weeks, and you get them, and then they go back home. They don't go nowhere. How can that be? How can that be? If you're a new creature in Christ and new desires, how can that be? How is that possible? Has anybody had to come after you since you've been born again? My mama ain't had to send no preacher after me since I got born again. There's something in me that wanted to come to church. From the day I got born again, there's something in me that wanted to come to church. I've wondered about that and wondered about that and wondered about that. Well, the answer has Bible has an answer for that. 1 John 2:19, listen to what it says. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have not, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And you know what he's saying here? They went out so that the Lord could tell them that those guys weren't part of us to start with. No doubt they were living sinful lives and doing what they had always done and coming to church and trying to get a dose of do-betters, but they never had a changed life, and they eventually had to leave the church because they couldn't stay. And John said, the reason they did that was because they weren't of us to start with. Yeah. Folks, that answers a whole lot of questions for me. I'm telling you that if you can get somebody to become a new creature in Christ, these seats will fill up, they won't rotate. Come on, somebody. They won't rotate in and out. You get born again, and Christ will change you. Let me tell you, the promise is this. It's not for somebody that just prays the prayer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, somebody say that with me, any man. That means any of us. Any man, woman, child, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Behold, I can see it. Means I can see it. There's a change that I can see when an individual's heart has been changed and they become a new creature in Christ. Some of us have wrestled around with family members trying to get them to be in church and be committed to church. I'm telling you, get them to Christ, they'll come to church. Come on, get them to Christ, they'll come to church. We've been crucified with Christ. We've been buried with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. Our life is hidden in Christ. Our old man is dead. Thank God. Somebody shout hallelujah to that. The old desires are gone. Amen. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we no longer live the life we used to live. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
This new creature loves church. This new creature loves worship. This new creature loves the Word of God. Amen. All things have become new. We now have a new life in Christ. You know, when Noah built the ark and all the animals went into the ark, they all come out the same. The fox went in a fox, he come out a fox. The lion went in a lion, he come out a lion. Crow flew in a crow, he flew out a crow. But there was no change at all. But nobody has ever entered into the ark of salvation and ever come out not changed. Come on, there ain't nobody. I'm telling you, we went in rotten to the core, and we come out transformed. There ain't nobody ever come out of this ark of salvation, amen, and not be changed. I'm telling you, I don't care how many times you've been baptized or how many times you've prayed the prayer. It's the new creature that matters. It's a new creature. It's not possible to be born again and not be changed. Amen. As a new creation, you're changed. You're not who you were. Christ has imputed His righteousness into your life. You're not only declared righteous, you are righteous. You've been changed and you've been made righteous. There's been a change in you. God didn't just put a righteous label on an old rotten you. You've been regenerated. Regenerated means that you've been regened. God's DNA is in you now. Peter said, we're born again not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We have God's DNA on the inside of us and God's nature on the inside of us. You know why lost people can't overcome things? Is because the promise that I've made you more than a conqueror don't pertain to them. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't pertain to them. That's a grace thing. That comes with a new nature. That's why they can't change anything. That's why they can't come to church and be faithful to come to church. Amen. But when you get regened, amen, you'll come. God has recreated you in righteousness. God has sanctified you. He set you apart. You've been converted. You were once a slave to sin, and now you are a servant to righteousness. That's the new creature. As a sinner, you manifested sin, but as a new creature, you manifest righteousness because that's what's been produced in you. It is popular today to just say, well, I believe Jesus. We got people living in sexual immorality that says, Jesus is my Savior. And I'm telling you, folks, you can live any old way you want to live as long as you say, I prayed the prayer and I believe in Jesus, and that'll qualify you as a Christian in most churches today. But that don't fit heaven. True Christians are transformed people. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I've been changed. I've been changed. True believers have been made righteous. They manifest righteousness. And once we become a new creature, there's a process called sanctification that takes place in our life. It is a work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that just continues to work inside of us, constantly working to change our lives and change us into the image of Christ Jesus. There is an evidence of this sanctification in our lives. You can see it. We've put off the old man and we've put on the new. We've put off the old man and all of his deeds, and we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. We have a new identity.
Amen.
That's an evidence of sanctification in our life. We're not who we used to be.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. That old man is corrupt. He's natural. He's flesh. It's sinful. It's prideful. It's godless. It's unrighteous. It's depraved. But this new man is righteous. This new man is transformed. This new man, old things are passed away. It's more than just saying, I believe in Jesus. If you have been born again, there has been a radical change in your life. You've become a new creature. Listen to me. I know this may be tough, but it is impossible to get born again and continue in that old lifestyle. It's impossible. It is impossible. Let me illustrate it like this. When you were a baby in your mother's womb, you lived in water, and you were connected to your mother, and everything your mother got fed you. You were of your mother. When we were lost, we were of the devil, and everything we got from him. But we lived in an environment in our mother's womb that when we got born, we came out of our mother's womb and came out of that water, being submerged in that water, we can no longer go back and live in water. Now, I don't mean you can't go get in water, but you can't live there.
Come on now.
What used to keep you alive now will kill you. Amen. I'm not saying you can't go back in sin. I'm just saying you can't live in sin.
Yeah, that's it.
There is a part and a component of God's grace that He will chasten you. There's a woodshed out back that God will chasten you. And I'm telling you to bring you back around. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I want you to pay close attention to this. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven if you're unrighteous. Are we listening? You're not going to heaven if you're unrighteous. You're not going to heaven if you live unrighteous. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized or how many times you prayed that prayer. Paul said, don't be deceived. Heaven is not for unrighteous people who live unrighteous lives. But listen what else he said. The next verse he said, and such were some of you. Y'all were all them things. Such were some of you, but you're washed and you're sanctified and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Sounds like change to me.
Yeah.
Amen. Justified means declared righteous. Sanctified means made holy, and washed means made clean. That means that something has changed. When Joshua the high priest came before the Lord with a dirty garment on, and Satan was there to accuse him, the Lord said, change his garments out and clean him up. And then when he cleaned him up, he put a fair mitre on his head that said, holiness unto the Lord. He cleaned him up and then announced him that he's holy. That's what happened to me and you. I thought about the prodigal son when he came home with all that dirt and hog mire on him. And the father said, go get my best robe and put it on him. He didn't put him on him with the hog mire. I guarantee you they took him to the house and they washed him and they cleaned him up. God don't put a good label on a bad thing. Amen. That's politics that does that. This old man can't be converted. The only thing you can do with this old man is crucify him. This old man can't be cleaned up. This old man can't be changed. All you can do is crucify him. It can't be renewed. You can send out all the self-help books you want to and talk about having a positive attitude. All you'll end up with is an old man with a positive attitude.
Yeah.
Amen. It can only be replaced by the new man. Every person in this room, I want you to hear me, every person in this room is either in Adam or in Christ.
Amen.
Every one of us. And the Bible said all that are in Adam die, but all that are in Christ are made alive. And we're all in one of them. We're either in Adam, dead in trespasses and sin, or we're in Christ that's been made alive and declared righteous. Whoo! Hallelujah! Come on! There's an evidence of change. There's no such thing as somebody saying, nobody who's been converted and made a new creature, nobody says, I'm a saved adulterer. I'm a saved fornicator. I'm a saved thief. I'm a saved drunkard. There's no such thing as that. Those things have passed away. The only way you'll ever get to heaven is that whatever you were, you're no longer. Such were some of you. The church is full of people who were. that are no longer are. Amen. As a church and as a Christian or as a true believer, you're a new creature with new longings, and all of those things are no longer a part of you. All of those old things. Amen. You've got new loves. That's the evidence of sanctification. And I want to say this. If those things are not there, you're not a new creature. If you don't love church and you don't love the Lord and you don't love God's people and you don't love coming and you don't love worship, you don't love the Word of God, and there's not been a change in your life, you're not a new creature. You're not. Because it's impossible to be a new creature and not love the things of God. You can know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. There's something about God's people that loves to be with God's people. When I was lost, I loved to be with that crowd. I don't like that crowd anymore. I like this crowd. I wake up on Sunday morning glad to come to church. Amen. If serving Him, if coming to church is a drudgery, you don't have a passion for the Word, you don't like worship, you don't like spending time with God's people, you're not a new creature. I know that's hard. But I'd rather tell you the truth this morning than to validate you because you prayed a prayer, somebody baptized you, and tell you you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. There's new desires come with this new man. This new creature comes with new desires. The day that I ain't never wanted to go to church in my life. You're looking at a guy that hated church. I hated church. I didn't want to go to church. Mama could barely talk me into coming on Easter. The only reason I come in because we went to her house and ate after we got done. And maybe Christmas. I hated church. I hated preaching. I didn't understand it. Went over my head. Even the simplest of messages went over my head. My mind was blinded by the God of this world. I couldn't understand anything. I didn't care about any of that thing. I didn't like the old hymnal stuff. I didn't care nothing about church. And the day I got saved, that afternoon, I couldn't wait to get back to church. And that was the first time in my life I've ever wanted to come. And that desire ain't never left me. I've never lost the desire for God's Word or the things of God or coming to church or being a part of His family. Never. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If there's not been a change in your life, then you're not a new creature yet. But the good news is you can be. There's not only a process of sanctification. I'm almost done, so hang with me. There is a progress. Because we don't just get saved and stay where we were. Amen? Now, let me give you an illustration. When a baby is born, when that baby is born, it's fully a baby. All the parts are there. But it needs something to cause it to grow. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians, though our outward men perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. There's a process going on the inside of every one of us that we're being renewed. That's good news for me. I'm getting old. I'm just getting old on the outside. Come on. That's shouting stuff right there, man. I'm just getting old on the outside. I am just spinning backwards and getting newer every day. We're renewed day by day. But this child, this baby, when it becomes a baby, we would take it to a doctor if it never grew. But these parts, it's got all the parts, but this baby needs something to grow. And so you feed this baby, and this baby grows. And when this baby is born, it might look like the father, but it don't act like him yet. It screams and cries, and some of you ladies might say, well, yeah, he's acting like his father. Makes a mess. But here's what happens. The only way that baby's ever going to act like his father is if that father invests in him wisdom and knowledge and time into that child. And then when he's grown, he'll act like his father. And that's the process of sanctification that's going on inside of us. That's what God is doing on the inside of us. When we were born again, we were recreated in His image. But there's a process that's going on the inside of us, and progress going on the inside of us, that we're being changed and renewed day by day so that we're beginning to walk like Him and look like Him and act like Him and talk like Him. Amen. And our behavior and our minds are being renewed and acting like Him. That is the spiritual progress that's happening on the inside of us. Our spiritual growth, folks, is connected to the knowledge of Him that's created us. Listen to this. And in Colossians 3 and 10 said, "And put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." This knowledge is talking about a deep knowledge. It's when you know something in your knower about God and something about yourself that causes you to begin to be transformed. Amen. It's not good works that produces growth in us. Paul didn't say that it was good works that did that. Amen. We know that. It's the knowledge that produces the growth, and that growth is what produces this good works that's coming out of us. It is this deep knowledge of God that we become strong and stable and steadfast and patient and joyful, where we begin to walk in thanksgiving with the Lord. So why do we need preaching and teaching? Because Peter said it like this: "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Our growth is linked to the knowledge of God. And so that's people who are faithful to come to church and sit under teaching and sit under good preaching grow and mature. People who don't mature. Maturity doesn't come with years. It comes with this progressive sanctification that goes on the inside of you. So I'm closing. It's unscriptural and it's heretical to say Jesus is my Lord and continue to live the way you want to live. Unless there's a transformed life where there's a desire for things that are righteous and pure and holy and just and good, then you're not a new creature. You don't have a new nature yet. I know that's tough. But I love you enough to tell you that. Amen. Salvation is visible. It'll show up on the outside when God does a work on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. If a person is a new creature in Christ, there will be the evidence of a changed life. You'll see it. I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care how wicked you are. We've dragged people out of their seats and dragged them down to these altars. I've got to slow down and just get serious with you for a minute. We've got all caught up in the emotion of a church service, and we've all seen where we've dragged people out of the seats, went and got them, dragged them down to this altar. They prayed the prayer, we baptized them, and there was ever any change. But because they prayed the prayer and we baptized them and let them join the church, we validated them as now you're on your way to heaven. And those same people have left our churches as lost as they were when they came in here. Because the Holy Spirit never convicted them of their sin. There was never any repentance. There was never any conversion. All they did was pray a prayer, got baptized, and went home, and were told, "You're okay now." Because we don't know what it's supposed to feel like when we're lost to get saved. And so people don't know that there's a change. But there's a change.
Amen.
Come on, there's a change.
There is.
And 2 minutes later, you can't find them. And then we wonder why. We've been in church services here. I've seen as many as 20 people at a time come to this altar. How many of y'all remember? There ain't a one of them here. Not one of them are here. Not one of them. Why? They prayed a prayer. They got baptized. Ain't none of them here. Because they got caught up in the emotion stuff. I'm going to tell you something, guys. We got to stop this emotionalism garbage in our churches where we play off the souls of people and try to get people emotionally attached to come to an altar. If God ain't big enough to get them, when we start dragging people out of their seats into this altar, we're trying to do God's job. I need somebody to say amen to me.
Amen.
Let me say this to this church. You might hug somebody, but don't drag somebody to this altar. We've seen folks dragged to this altar. They never got born again. 5 years later, we dragged them back down to the altar, and they didn't get born again either, because we wanted them to be. We wanted them to be saved so bad, we dragged them to the altars, and they never got saved. Let me tell you something. When God gets ready to save somebody, He's big enough by His Holy Spirit to draw you. If He can go get a man like the Apostle Paul and knock him off his horse on a road to Damascus, I'm telling you that God can reach anybody in this room when He so chooses to do so. Somebody give God some praise in this house. We've got to stop playing God. I'm sorry. Don't get caught up in the emotion stuff where we put people on a guilt trip and they come down here just so the evangelist or the pastor will get off of them. I'm telling you, there are people, is this all right? There are people that will come to this altar because that's a good place to hide. If I'm down here, I'm going to leave them alone. And they've learned that. So they hide down here. And sometimes the evangelists will leave them alone. All they got to do is come down here. We are so prideful in being able to put a check mark beside somebody's name because they prayed a prayer and we baptized them. We should never, ever be satisfied with that until we see that individual coming through that door, walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, and looking like Jesus. Because that is the evidence of a new creature. That's the evidence of a new creature. God, send revival to us. God, send revival to us. Final thing, and I'll shut up. We all remember Vacation Bible School. Our pride has gotten in the way and sent so many kids to hell with a false hope. Here's what we do at Vacation Bible Study. Y'all know because y'all went too. How many love Jesus? I love Jesus. How many want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. Well, how many want to pray this prayer that you can go to heaven? I want to pray that prayer we can go to heaven. And pray, say this right after me. Just repeat after me. And those kids repeat that prayer. We baptize them, put them on church row, and turn their numbers in, and we boast about their baptisms, and we had 20 baptisms in our Vacation Bible School, and we're all tickled to death. But those people grow up, never committed to Christ, never committed to church, in and out, unstable all their lives, under the false assumption they're going to heaven, and when they die, they go to hell, because somebody in Vacation Bible Study told them, if you'll pray this prayer, you'll go to heaven. What have we done? What have we done to our churches? What have we done to our churches? None of that availeth anything if they don't become a new creature in Christ. Your church attendance ain't worth 2 cents if you don't become a new creature in Christ. Your baptism ain't worth 2 cents if you don't become a new creature in Christ. Your service, your faithfulness, your company, none of that matters if you're not a new creature in Christ. So I'm closing with this question. I know some of y'all's testimony, and I've seen your changed lives, but I don't know everybody's testimony in here, and I don't know your stories. But I'm going to close with this question, and it's going to challenge you. Have you been born again? And have you been made a new creature in Christ? Or did you just pray a prayer somewhere and get baptized? I want to encourage you today to examine yourself. Y'all probably wish Brother Timmy would just stay here. But I want to encourage you to examine yourself today. We're getting too close to the end of this thing, guys. We're getting too close to the end of this thing to ride on a false hope that I think and I hope I'm okay. You can know you're okay. The Bible tells us that you can know. You can know that you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can know that you've been born again. But if you're struggling and you're unstable and you don't have a desire for the things of God and you don't have a love for the things of God and you could care less about what I'm saying right now and you could care less about the worship, and yeah, you might have prayed the prayer in Vacation Bible School one day and you might have got baptized and joined a church and you might have been in church all your life, but you've never really chased after God and you've never really had a heart for the things of God, I would challenge you today that you're really not a new creature. You just prayed a prayer. And none of that availeth anything if you didn't become a new creature in Christ. Stand to your feet.